Bam.
Beep, right. Beep, 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 beep. Sorry, everybody. It's that's the sound of Matthew got a cat watch.
I got a cat.
Welcome to March 2024, where Matthew's cat watch is in day 22.
Wow. Nice. So, yeah.
Good Jim.
That was great. I almost thought we were in the 1920s. That was crazy. So, yeah, everybody. I am podcasting for two now because I got a cat. He's got one ear and a heart murmur, and his name's Nubs.
And if you're wondering why it sounds like Matthew's congested, it's because he is horribly allergic to cats.
I am. Holy shit, I'm allergic to cats.
And decision making.
But it's fine. Oh, you're going all over my keyboard, bro. You got to chill. Okay. But also, I am also getting over a cold. So things are just colliding, you know? I'm going through another crucible, like when I first moved to Philly and got tonsillitis. No, laryngitis.
No, you had bronchitis.
Oh no, I didn't have bronchitis. It was my fucking tonsils. It was tonsillitis.
Oh, it was tonsillitis.
All kinds of upper respiratory bullshit.
Yeah, and then I went in and they were like, get you some amoxicillin. And I was like, great. And then sweet. I was almost done. And then I broke out in hives. Turns out I'm allergic to amoxicillin. So loved that. So for the first 2 weeks in Philly, I was bedridden and couldn't leave my house. Shit was nutty, dude.
The great news is you didn't have a job, so you weren't.
Yeah,
you weren't missing work.
Years ago,
I wasn't missing much except for like the whole city going on around me, hustle and bustle. You know, it's fine.
A thousand years ago, when Matt's mom and I went to college, amoxicillin was like the thing.
Oh my god, do you need amoxicillin right now?
Any problem? The medical center was like, take this amoxicillin.
Yeah, man.
That was their blanket solution.
Yeah.
So did you experience this, Matt's mom?
I don't think so.
Well, it was for Jim, I guess.
It was such a thing at the college where I went to that there was like a shitty local band named Amoxicillin.
That's actually pretty sick. I would love to go see an Amoxicillin show. Because they have a gauge on whether...
I'm saying they were a shitty band. Some of my friends were probably in it.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. I will say, having a band... Oh, no,
does not preclude them being shitty. Yeah. You are correct.
No, not at all. But I love the name Amoxicillin for a band because you can ask somebody what the band's name is, and if they can't say it because they're too drunk, they're cut off. Mm. Amoxicillin.
Oh, yeah. As a,
I'm Amoxicillin.
Have successfully taken drugs in the cillin family, but I have but not penicillin because of that hives thing.
So you know what? Maybe I'll just go and buy some penicillin. You can just do that, right? Maybe I'll just test it out.
You just leave some bread out. That's how we invented it.
Oh, sick. I'll just eat some old bread.
Just leave some bread out for a while.
It's for science, guys. It's for science. Yeah. Come on.
They have found old like
recipes
of medicines.
Yeah.
That talk about the healing properties of bread soup, which we have to imagine were like they were making penicillin. They were just cooking, they were simmering down moldy bread and making a little penicillin broth.
Gross.
It's either that or your body rots and falls apart back in the day.
All right, when you put it that way, sure. I'll simmer some old fucking moldy bread.
Yep.
So in honor of this week's episode, I'm actually recording from the house of a dog named Archie.
This is the closest we'll get to having KJ Apa on the show.
It's the closest I wish to get.
To be.
I want to be really clear about that. I don't.
Closest we wish to be to KJ Apa.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's fine.
By the way, gang, a quick aside, not bashing anything we do here, but when I was listening to the last episode we recorded, we were kind of mean to people. I was kind of, you know, I was developing a fever, and I was like, god damn, nobody's going to want to come on this fucking podcast, because we dunk on everybody.
Yeah, we're really nice in person. I just wanna
we're super nice to your face, but, you know, behind a keyboard, fuck you.
Nice to your face.
Fuck you.
I can't say that I would be kinder if these people were in front of me. I would be probably more circumspect, more polite.
Sure.
It's just but there's a degree of honesty about how we feel about this terrible show.
Yes. I guess that's what really keeps this goat afloat, to so to speak, is that you gotta float your goat. But we are just like, actually fuck this show and we hate it, but we'll endure it.
That's not news.
I know it's not news.
It is a bad television show, but I do want to say this week's episode reminded me of watching a good television show.
Did you
insane.
Oh, I hated
it. Oh, fuck.
In the grand tradition of this meeting could have been an email, this entire episode could have been a short monologue.
Could have been an...
Absolutely, yes. But the episode is laid out like an episode of a real television show. It has a coherent story like an episode of a real television show.
Sure.
Like, the pieces of the puzzle of the episode fit together in a way that a real television show's puzzle pieces might.
Right.
It had almost nothing in common with any other episode of Riverdale, including the cast.
Wait, what? What the fuck?
And it does bring to light two pieces of information that I hate.
Nice.
But I thought it was a pretty well-constructed
episode. Well, yeah. There's okay, first of all, this meeting could have been an email, and this email could have been a fistfight, okay? This episode could have been really... boiled down
a 5 minute
absolutely,
yeah. And secondly, a thing happens early on in this episode that enraged me for not for plot reasons, for our ongoing bit reasons.
Was one of the two things that really made me upset also.
Wait, is it about to dismantle a bit we've been going with?
It is
going like to
dismantle
years?
Mantle.
Oh, you fuckers. This is a zombie dad. This is a fucking zombie dad. Fuck you. He's not real. He's a fucking skin suit filled with rats.
I'm so glad that you picked up immediately what we...
Fuck you. No, this is not how this works. Fuck. We were doing so well. That bit was so good. And now they had to fuck it up.
I went to like a group chat that I have with friends, and I was like... I forgot that some of my friends there listen to this podcast, so I was complaining about it, and then I was like, ah, damn it!
Ah, shit, I did it. Oh, no, I'm one of those people.
But I was so mad, I had to talk about it immediately. I couldn't wait.
Yeah. No, I understand. Oh, man. Well, should we get into it then? I feel like we should get into it then. All right.
Yeah, but... Who are we in?
All right. What is your daddy? And who does he do? Wait, hold on.
That's who does he do?
What is your... Who is your daddy and what does he do? Hi, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm Matt's mom.
And I am not Matt's daddy.
No, you are not. And
correct.
This is a Riverdale Runs
Through
It. I'm
just Matt's friend.
Yes. It's a podcast with Pep. It's where my mom and my friend, endure an episode of Riverdale, and then we talk about it, and then that kind of psychic cloud is passed through microphones and into my headphones. And then it sits in my brain like a tiny pellet of lead, and it deeply poisons me over time. And that's it. That's what the podcast is. Welcome. If this is your first episode, hot damn.
You are in for a ride.
You are in. Wow.
You got 80, 90 back episodes you can go through.
Yeah.
If you enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a healthy choice. You know?
Just wait till we like... What we did at the beginning, also gold. It's been gold the entire time. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
this is us and we do a podcast.
We have no script. We just watch a show and then make fun of it.
And that's it. We make goofs and gaffs, and we take twice the amount of runtime to explain the
standard episode.
Of this standard episode because we are so mad about it and have to take frequent breaks.
And we don't
frequent water breaks.
We don't even hit you with commercials, you know?
No.
Sometimes we just talk about other things that we enjoy.
Yeah, this podcast costs us both our sanity and our money.
Yeah. This is, we are Sisyphus, and this is our rock that we must
here we
push
go.
Up a hill.
Yeah.
Once like more this week. Said. Yep.
New liver, oh, man, same eagles.
Let's, what? Oh, my God. Well, we can't do this podcast anymore. We have to unpack that shit.
What's what the fuck? The guy? So, you know, Sisyphus, he's got a job. It's, there's a rock, and there's a hill, and you do it.
Yes.
What was the Titan, the one that stole fire, I think his punishment.
Prometheus.
Yeah, so Prometheus' punishment was to be chained to a rock, and eagles came and ate his liver every day.
Oh, that's right.
I just typed liver same eagles into Google.
And Jesus Christ.
Was the thing that came up immediately.
Jim, you really like took a gamble on that fucking Google image search with AI like image generation that's new, like up in the market these days.
If there is AI stuff in my Googles, I have it disabled as thoroughly as I possibly can.
Anyway, perfect. I think that's a more fun way to say same shit, different day.
So, different wait new same liver, eagles same different eagles. Liver new liver same eagles. I'm gonna start saying that shit,
yeah,
and then people are gonna be like, what, and
I'm what like, the fuck is wrong know. With you insufferable
oh,
idiot.
There's a sticker
that says new liver same eagles.
Oh yeah,
it, should I make a hold on, I'm gonna go shirt. I'm gonna go quiet for about half an hour while I make a new liver same eagles t-shirt.
Oh, no, there's already a really good design.
All right, perfect. I'm just going to buy one then. Should we all buy one for the live show on the boat?
Should we do that thing? I'm holding out for a fancy school horsey's crew neck, you know?
All right, all right. I'll get those made and get those shipped.
Oh, I'm going to get my flight.
Oh, my God. All right, that's not the podcast. What the podcast is talking about Riverdale. So what happened last week? It was a clusterfuck. Here we go. You ready?
There were some head bonks. There were a lot of head bonks.
There were so many head bonks. The head bonk counter at the bottom of the screen was so high. It was like 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah. I had the head bonk.
You had that? Yeah. You had that. It was so good. So Betty's a trucker, and then she gets a call from Tabitha. Tabitha, you okay, bud? Wow.
He just remembered a joke he did.
I totally forgot that head bonk bit.
God damn it, dude.
It was a very head bonk forward episode.
It was a head bonk forward episode.
There was so many head bonks.
So Tabitha calls Betty and is like, I lost your ex-boyfriend. And Betty goes, okay, and? Yep. And Tabitha goes, well, you know, you should probably go and find him, right? And then Betty goes, well, I don't want to, but okay. And they check the bunker, and they read his bad manuscript, and they go, ugh. And then they call his other ex.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it is bad.
Yeah, that was exactly the noise that they made, yes.
They call his other ex, who gave him the shrooms that he escaped on, and was like, well, what if we all do shrooms? And they went, nah. And then she went, pivot. What if we just got food?
She actually said pivot. Oh,
I know. That's why I said the thing. It was how I said it.
Horrible.
So then they go to Pops. They eat some shroom fries. Oopsie daisies. They get dosed with shrooms to try and find Jughead, which crazy line of thinking, but we'll fucking go for it. They don't end up finding Jughead. He is on Sketch Alley with absolutely nothing. And then a rich guy beats him up. Little head bonk. Then he wakes up next to Doc, his former. Thank you. Oh,
you made the jokes.
Oh no,
work.
Jim.
They don't like head
Jim,
bonk
no.
noise.
The head bonk
Jim, we
noise
can't
set
have
him Foley off.
Work.
Son of a bitch, Jim.
Yeah, Jackson's going crazy.
Oh man. Well, buddy, it's okay. Yeah, get it all out.
I'm gonna step over there and see if I can calm him down.
Okay. So anyway. Doc was the guy that
never mind. He's
was like,
he's over it.
All right. Was Jughead's like caretaker. I'm sorry, listeners, if you don't find this funny, but I find it hilarious.
Timing.
It's pretty good.
This dog's got perfect comedic timing. Okay. So he gets beat up by a rich guy. He wakes up next to Doc, who used to, take care of him on the street. And then one night, Doc got beat up and Jug did nothing. So he lies about his name, wakes up, passes out again, wakes up again, and Doc's getting beat up. And he finally head bonks the dudes that are beating up Doc. And he's like, I did it, and my name's Jughead. And Doc goes, yeah, I know.
It was actually Archie that was freaking out.
Ah. Oh. Anyway, then he gets on
the lonely highway
In the bad truck with the skeleton on the front, except it doesn't have the skeleton on the front, but it is the bad
unclear.
Truck.
Unclear. Jim and I have differing opinions on that.
Okay. Well, we'll all find out when I watch this trash fire of a show.
Not in this week's episode, though.
No. That's for the boat. Anyway, then Archie has so many jobs. He is bounty hunter. He is carpenter. He is Batman. There's a bunch of...
Also fireman,
right?
School teacher.
Yep. Anything else I'm missing?
I think that's most of them. Operator.
Halfway house operator. Yeah. So Hiram's putting out a bounty for all the escaped convicts. So Archie goes back to his bachelor pad for guys who are totally cool and fine and good.
I forgot. Now I've heard a joke that I made. I forgot to start calling
it. This is why I'm here. Okay? So that's like Daddy Uncle Frank and Archie and former Keller?
Jughead. Corporal Jackson. Oh, we're not talking about the residents of Archie's cool bachelor pad for guys who are cool and fine and good and fine.
Well, I guess that's more of a metaphysical residency. I'm talking about like the people who were in the house in the scene.
Oh, no, not Keller, but Kevin. Kevin and Fangs.
Right. Okay. So Archie decides that he needs money, and now he's a bounty hunter. So they, Penelope headbonks a dude for trying to steal from Veronica. And he ends up in the hospital.
Archie again.
Yeah, please don't. The headbonk is in our hearts. Okay, it's fine. Then they try and get some dirt on some other ex-cons, and it doesn't work from the guy who got headbonked. So then they just kind of start running around. There's like a list of names, and it's like the worst way to bounty hunt is just to ask people their names.
They don't follow any bounty hunting best practices.
Oh no, they did not even read one word of bounty hunting for dummies. So then also, so what happens is the Dickinsons show up. I can't remember how or when. Oh, they show up.
It's because they got out of jail.
Right. But Veronica
got out of the palladium mines.
Yes, out of the palladium mines. So Veronica got a huge opal, probably the size of the Hope Diamond, I'm assuming. And she was going to sell it to get out of the blackmail from her bad chatty, get out of her bad marriage. And she's talking. And she's just buzzing people in, and that turns out to be the Dickinsons. And they rob her jewelry store, and then they have to go and find out where the Dickinsons are hiding. Oh, it's a tuna warehouse by the wharves?
Oh.
By the docks.
Livid.
And I said the great joke, you can't tune a salad, but you can tune a fish. And it didn't get a lot of traction, so I just wanted to test the waters here. Also not good. I'll return.
Maybe we just didn't hear it last time.
No, I mean you guys heard it. You just ignored me. So so they go down to that tuna factory or whatever the fuck, and they Archie gets a bunch of harnesses from somewhere. You can have mine. I don't want it. Archie gets a harness from somewhere, and he's like, I'm gonna grapple down or rappel down like Batman into a dangerous situation, and then unclip my fucking harness and beat up a bunch of dudes, which happens, but it's bad. Also, Hiram is being held at gunpoint by Ted, who is the guy who Archie stabbed in the shoulder with a pipe he ripped out of the wall.
Yep.
And he's like, don't go get my safe. And then they go and get his safe, and they just tear it out of the wall, and Archie, I guess, like, carries it across town or whatever. And then
they have the guy who has the code to the safe.
Man, who cares?
They could just ask for it.
It's fine, dude. That makes too much sense.
It's cooler for Veronica to say, you know what? Actually, fuck rescuing my dad. I'll just take the safe to them so that my dad can look at me and see I don't care about him. That's why I'll do all this extra work.
I don't give a fuck.
So dumb.
Yeah, and then the episode ended with Jughead getting on the truck to New York. He's got some unfinished trauma in New York
City.
New York City.
There's that old tweet thread from John Rogers where he's talking about, like, how his years of experience in television allow him to look at a script and go through it and just cut tens of thousands of dollars from the episode by changing little things. One of those little things is Hiram giving them the code instead of them spending 10 grand making this fucking safe that they have to cart around.
It's not even the safe. It's them. Did we talk about they rappelled in through the ceiling? That's where the money is.
Yes.
The safe is a cardboard box that you paint black.
God damn it.
It's the rappelling in through the roof that costs the money.
Like, just bonkers the shit that this show
absolutely bonkers,
bothers doing.
But I think that's the episode.
Good enough.
Like 90% certain.
That seems right.
Unless there was some Cheryl and Nana Rose stuff. The Maple Religion.
Starting a new cult.
Oh, yeah. Maple Jesus.
Cult Watch.
Indeed. Yeah, they're starting a cult. Yeah. It's kind of JJ based. It's kind of Maple based.
It's Maple JJ based.
It's Maple JJ based. Did we talk about Palladium?
There's John gonna Jones, be Mothman.
Jesus Christ.
And how
in that cult?
Yeah, there has to be. And how Reg lit all the maple trees on fire?
That was the episode before.
Oh, was it? Okay, great.
Reg.
Yep.
Never mind.
Reg burnt down the maple grove, and they prayed for wind.
Which wrong weather? Wrong weather to pray for.
Praying for wind thing really bothered me. I mean, it's accurate. It's character. Correct, you know, but I did not like it.
Yeah, everything about that was dumb, and I hate it.
Yeah,
and I also hate the idea that Palladium is this season's big widget.
It's unobtainium.
The fulcrum of this whole thing is Palladium.
It's the dumbest.
So
there's no doubt about that, Jim.
Want to say, which I said before when I was just chatting with my son and my friend here, but it's worth pointing out,
yes,
this whole ass episode could have been like a 3-minute monologue, and I hate it.
This meeting could have been an email, which could have been a fight.
This meeting could have been a fist fight. Is kind of the energy I'm trying to bring into the new year.
I love it.
I understand that we're you know, we're into the new year, but I'm not gonna let that stop me. All right. Yeah. Season 5, episode 12, would have been episode 9, is called Citizen Lodge. So,
Citizen Lodge.
I think we're all aware of the film Citizen Kane.
I'm aware of it, but have not seen it. It's apparently like the best movie ever to ever be made ever.
Well,
right?
I also have not seen it. Very revolutionary at the time, and was the first movie to do a lot of things that you are now very familiar with. So if you go to watch it now without understanding what was new when it was made, it's a slow story.
I see. Okay. Mm. All right.
So I think maybe it's good to know that if you do decide to watch it.
All right.
Plot-wise, Citizen Kane is about this William Randolph Hearst stand-in who dies, and then people like dig into his life. So it's a retrospective story of this guy's life and why he was the mean baddie that he was and how it left him alone and sad.
Wow.
Yeah, in case you were wondering how Hiram's doing,
The whole movie also just a hit piece?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Like, against the real guy?
Against the real will.
God
yes.
damn.
The other thing that Citizen Kane is, like, very renowned for was that Orson Welles even managed to make it and get it into theaters without it being censored or kind of killed by the studios.
Damn.
Yes. This starts with from above the bed shot of Hiram Lodge sleeping on his back with his arms outside of the covers, which just right off the bat, we're like, this man is unwell.
Yeah. This man has a touch of the consumption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not how a human sleeps.
All right.
Then we get our insufferable Jughead voiceover lists Michael Corleone, Tony Soprano, and Scarface.
Whatever.
they're mobsters that maybe the teens who watch this show have uh-huh. heard their shitty old white dad talking about.
Yep. They touched on the three mobsters they're confident literally anybody could name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Jughead goes on to say these were all heroes in their own mind. Every hero has an origin story. So I guess that's fun. Let's pretend they're not villains. That's nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Then as Jughead's voiceover is happening, we're getting a montage of Hiram getting ready. His alarm goes off. He immediately rolls out of bed and starts doing push-ups like he's Christian Bale in that one Batman movie.
Ah fuck, that sucks. Bale can do that.
Isn't that how you start your day?
Well, yeah, but that's not the point.
You jump out of bed and immediately do 30 push-ups?
Yeah, push-ups. Well, I fall into it. Yeah,
He's in a plank by the time he hits the floor.
Yeah. Mm. You know.
Kids,
you know,
don't try that at home.
I mean, you can.
How else are you going to train, Jim?
How else are you going to shatter all your fucking teeth?
No, put your arms out in front of you and it won't happen.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah, you'll just shatter your elbows.
No, you have to. You just absorb the... All right,
yeah, you have to be incredibly fit. Elbows.
Jim, I bet that you could do it right now.
I refuse.
Hey, fair enough. God, that would have been so funny, though, if you just...
He did.
I bet that you could call an ambulance for me right
if
now.
We just heard a bunch of clattering.
He refuses.
Oh, God!
No! My teeth!
Yeah, the point is to catch yourself with your hands, not your face. And I think maybe you missed that part.
You don't... They're not face-ups. They're push-ups. You push with your... You push with your arms.
Yeah.
Hi, my friends. I'm not as fit as Christian Bale was in Batman's.
No.
All right,
no humans are. we review that, Hiram's the big bad, but why,
no way.
You know?
Whatever.
Is the question. And why does he collect people like Reggie Mantle? And why does Reggie Mantle want to be like Hiram? And that, I don't know.
Oh,
anybody watching the show can kind of figure it out, but cool, let's dive into it.
Yeah.
So we got Reg at his cool car store for cool car guys.
He's always loved that car.
And it is at this juncture that his fucking father walks in alive.
God damn it. Oh.
God damn it.
I still think it's a fucking complicated marionette that he puppets around.
Yeah, this is
weekend
weird...
at Reggie's?
Weekend at Reggie's, okay?
Well, there's the episode title, Matthew.
Yes! I will not accept any explanation except for a weekend at Reggie's. Yeah, why this motherfucker is walking around.
It's weekend at Reggie's.
We need,
God damn it.
We need our perfect little cinnamon roll to be a patricidal maniac.
Yes.
Otherwise, this show just doesn't work for us.
Exactly. Yeah. We just, you know, I didn't think anything would make us pull the ripcord on this fucking podcast. But guess what?
Yeah, but Marty Mantle
this
walking in really
well.
Did fuck my shit up. I was immediately enraged.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the whole scene starts with like Reggie opening the shop like he's the one that runs it.
Yes, because he killed his fucking...
Yeah, and then his goddamn dad comes in and is like, you have to take
Marty
a half day? I don't like
shop.
It. And Reggie's like, well, I don't like you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Later. I opened it. The hardest part. You get to close it. It's the easiest
This
part.
Episode does have around 215 shut up and knows.
Hell yeah,
everybody.
Dude.
Everybody is
it.
Shutting up and knowing everybody.
Oh, it's perfect. Going around
this
the
is one of the first.
And by the time that it's the episode's done, nobody talks.
Everybody just stares in silence.
Everybody just stares in silence.
Like the good Lord intended.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, my note for this is Reggie Mantle car dealership opening montage, and then all caps. Dad is alive. Fuck this.
Yep.
I'm
out.
Livid. How dare you?
Shut up.
Very upset.
Shut up. A note to Marty Mantle. How about that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This whole
episode.
Whole
existence. God damn it. This podcast is built on like three bits.
Yeah.
And one of them
it's built on
is
a lot of bits. This thing is a bit graveyard.
This is a bit
we built
sort of
this podcast
on bits and jokes.
Bits and jokes. All right, but goddamn it,
yeah,
I fucking ugh.
Anyway,
I'm gonna be so mad at this.
Reg
forever
goes to Hiram. Oh no! Then it's a cut into Hiram's office where he's on the phone, and somebody's located someone for him, and it's personal, and he'll handle it tonight. At which point, Reg comes in with an old-timey suitcase full of cash, and pays off his dad's debt.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So he's like, "Here's my dad's debt. Also, I hate my dad. Will you be my dad now?"
Oh.
I mean, can I work for you? All right. And
I want to swap. I want to do a dad swap.
Yeah. Can we just do a little swaparooni?
Can we do a little dad switcheroo-y?
Yeah.
Is that okay? All right. Sweet.
little pop swap.
Pop swap. There it is.
Hiram's like, yeah.
Still pleased with Weekend at Reggie's.
Anyway,
at Reggie's.
Hiram's like, yeah, listen, I'll be your daddy. Here's the thing. Can you get me a ghost gun? And what he means by this is a gun that's untraceable. But what I hear is...
A gun made of ghosts?
Ghostbusters.
Also that. Proton pack and all, baby.
We've known for a long time that busting makes Hiram feel good.
It does.
Yeah.
It cured
his
nodes.
He loves to bust ghosts.
It cured his nodes. He busted a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And his nodes went away.
And his nodes, yeah. Cleared right up.
The busting has healing properties. Damn it. I really should think before I speak.
You should, yeah. I have to listen to the things that you say.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I really gotta... Whoo, boy.
you gotta run them through a little filter in advance.
Yeah. Yep.
Reg is all, yep, I'll get you a proton pack, but I do have one
last
shift at the lot.
My fucking dad.
We're now confronted once again with fucking Marty Mantle, the bane of my existence.
Former daddy, shut up and no to Marty Mantle again.
Exactly. And Marty Mantle's bad at selling cars. What a shocker that he can't run his car dealership good.
What? Dude, no way.
He's very bad at selling cars.
Yeah, they have an appointment for this like big sale. Reg's dad whiffs it. Reg saves the day by talking about Bella, that car that he loves.
He's always loved that car
that he loved.
And how many memories this guy's son is going to make in this car. And then he says, this is the car your son will get laid in. Reg.
Oh, gross.
Reg. Be better, my guy.
Not a selling point.
Come on.
It's gross.
But of course, because of the patriarchy, the dad's like, yeah, my son will fly.
Yeah.
The dad immediately gets a boner when he hears that.
He's like, and I'm going to watch. And then Reg is like, no.
He gets a checkbook-shaped boner.
Matthew, we just talked about you thinking before you said things out loud, right?
Oh, I thought about that one for a while. And I was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good joke. So they make the sale, but Marty Mantle is mad because it threatens his superiority that Reg closed the sale.
Fuck off, dude.
So Daddy Mantle kind of threatens Reg, and Reg looks at his dad, whom he's already killed once in this lifetime, and says, I fucking wish you would try. Okay?
Yes.
I wish you would.
Actually kill your dad on screen this time, Reg. Please.
Go for it.
I want an on-screen death.
Yeah, I need to be verified.
If anybody knows what a Turbo Kid death means, I need that for Marty Mantle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I need him to be liquefied.
I needed so much blood to come out of this motherfucker's neck.
What is a Turbo Kid death?
We've talked about how you have to watch Turbo Kid, Jim.
Yes, you have to watch Kung Fury and you have to watch Turbo Kid.
I refuse.
How dare you?
You
don't even know what
time.
It is.
You have some sort of media-based oppositional defiance disorder.
Motherfucker. I don't...
You will watch, dude. Fucking 80 hours of Master and Commander horseshit that's all the same. They're forever in a storm.
Oh, shit.
But you won't watch 90 minutes of Turbo Kid?
It's such a great film.
I don't know what to tell you except that oceans are battlefields.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
Shut up and know, Jim.
Oh, my God. A real life shut up and know. Those are rare. You don't see those often.
Oh, I think we see them every week, don't we?
Well, we're talking about characters on a TV show, but this was from mom to you. XXX.
That's not that personal. Unusual.
Yeah, this time she said Jim. Shut up and no. She didn't say Hiram said to Jim, shut up and no. Okay? It was coming from her mouth. It was like a first person shut up and no. It wasn't a third person.
Yeah, I don't think I've said that to anybody yet. So that was my first.
Yeah, you're breaking the seal. Now I'm just going to say it to
everybody. Now it's out there. Anybody can do it.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, Marty Mantle says to Reg, maybe I'll hit you. And Reg says, go ahead and swing.
All right.
Reg says, fucking yeah, I've got these abs right here. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've stood next to me recently, sir, but do you think you're going to win? Reg follows that up with, also, I paid off your debt, and now I will go and work for Hiram, whom you hate and think is a bad man. So a solid shut up and no to Bad Daddy Mantle.
Yeah.
Bad Daddy Mantle then goes to Bad Daddy Lodge and says, please leave my Reg alone.
My little Reggie.
Yeah, and because he's got exactly one move in his playbook, he then starts to threaten Hiram.
Fucking, dude, you gotta, like, you gotta read, like, Art of War.
He doesn't even need to say shut up and know where I wish you would. He's just kind of like, buddy,
let's pump the brakes.
Yeah. Okay, pal.
Like, come on.
After that, Reg shows up to Hiram with the proton pack.
Hell yeah, dude. It looks like a normal gun, but it's
the proton ghosts. Pack, so
it's
spooky.
Folded up real tiny.
Yeah. And Hiram says to Reg, hey, your bad daddy was here, and you really need to handle that before you work for me. So go get your house in order and then come back.
Go kill your dad.
Yeah, we thought. Yeah, go. He says, Reg, go perfect, I thought your dad again. Was dead this whole time.
Reg, I swear to Christ, that motherfucker is dead.
But weirdly, he was just here in my office being all obstreperous and shit.
And then.
Wow.
A stripper took a piss in your office?
You tell me a shrimp fried this rice?
You talking me? You tell me a crab goon for this?
This prompts Reg to go back to his bad daddy and say, "Hey, that's basically it." He's like, "Don't embarrass me in front of my gangster daddy."
Come on, dude.
Yeah, Melton really wants the Emmy here. Is what we're getting.
In is this he scene. Chewing?
He Emmys the fuck out of this scene.
Yeah, he knows the legend of Will Smith in that one Fresh
Hidden
Prince
Temple.
Episode about his dad.
Right. You know? Now he's gonna do that same thing.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Did that episode win an Emmy? It should
I don't know.
Have.
I hope so.
It won an Emmy in our hearts. And so he says, don't embarrass me.
Oh, dad.
And then he says, like, hey, officially shut up and no to you. And also, you say that Hiram's so bad, but as far as I know, Hiram's never physically assaulted his family. So get wrecked.
Yeah, get regged, fucker.
You've been regged.
You've been regged. And then he does that, like, fucking double hand to the crotch thing, and then he walks out.
Oh, I thought he would have done like a cool spin kick.
Oh yeah, he totally like jump spin kicks his dad in the throat.
No, just then, near him.
Right, yeah, he does like a really bad jump front kick.
Yeah,
yeah, and then
he goes yeah.
He's like yeah. I've been taking karate lessons on YouTube.
I've been taking karate.
Karate. All right.
And then he hops back to his gangster daddy's office, all right? So Hiram says, like, hey there, Reg, how'd it go with the good old, definitely alive Marty Mantle? How was that?
You kill that guy yet?
Yeah. Reg says, hey, you know what? I actually don't have a dad. And Hiram says, big mood, man, same.
Wow.
And that's our...
Sorry, go ahead.
That's our entry into the back.
Wow.
Into the backstory. That's it.
Holy shit. Wait, is this a Hiram bottle episode?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Oh, I mean, it's not exactly a bottle episode. It's.
But But it's all about Hiram.
Yeah, it's like a big Hiram flashback.
Yeah. And
holy shit.
It is a bottle episode in the way that the writers of Riverdale define a locked room, like we like locked the room, you know?
Yeah. Like a locked room murder being that you locked the door. And
yeah,
someone was
in the
murdered.
Sense that it truly does not move the plot forward at all and is its own thing. It doesn't
bottle episode in the fact that that everybody was down at the bottom of theirs during writing this episode.
Yes. So story time. It starts in New York City in 1988.
The most devious bastard in
New York City. God.
So
I fucking love Matt Berry, and I love What We Do in Shadows, and that man's insane pronunciation rank right up there with Catherine O'Hara as Moira Rose.
This is how we speak in Tucson, Arizona.
You just never know how either one of those characters are going to pronounce a thing, but you do know you're going to love it.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. Actually, into the episode now. No more back. No more side.
No, we're talking about good TV shows. Talk about bad TV shows.
No. Whoa.
Yeah.
Gonna edit that out.
We got the Riverdale classic where every character is now playing their parent.
Sick.
So Hiram's playing his own dad, who is shining shoes. He's shining some white guy's shoes. The white guy's like, man. Ah, damn. Hispanic shoe shine guy. Geez. Sure did left my wallet at home. Can't pay ya.
And he says, gee, mister. That's fine.
He's like, oh, that's all right. You can pay me double next time. And he says, no, I got this rock for you instead. Here. This.
What the fuck?
This wad of tinfoil I chewed on a little bit's palladium, and it's more valuable
than
gold. Oh,
fuck off. And what? They put the palladium in the past?
Yeah, it's the classic.
That's so fucked.
It's the classic Indiana Jones thing where, like, every single thing that's, like, unique or interesting about the character happens in one day in the beginning of The Last Crusade. He gets the scar on his chin, he gets the whips, he hates snakes, he gets the hat. All of that happens in one afternoon.
Yeah. Like, do you guys like post-Ladium or pre-Ladium?
What do you think is better?
Or past-Ladium?
Past-Ladium?
Past-Ladium it is.
Oh, man.
All right.
Oh, okay. Damn it. That I missed sucks. The boat. I was going to make a good the dog's name was Hiram Indiana Jones reference, but we've moved on.
Oh, yeah. He gets the name Indiana. That's right. That also happened that same afternoon.
We called the dog Indiana. All
right. Yeah, right. So this guy's like, here's this wad of old foil. It's actually more valuable than gold. It's called palladium. And this is a piece of information that enraged me also.
I was very upset. Very, very upset.
Apparently, in this universe, the town of Riverdale is in Rockland County, New York.
Oh, no. We actually get a fucking concrete location and it sucks?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn.
And you know...
There's maple trees in Rockland, New York?
Yeah, nope. You know where they don't process tuna or catch it?
Is it Rockland, New York?
It's Rockland, New York.
Or have a port with docks.
Yep.
Anywhere on the Hudson Academy. Above Manhattan is the answer. No. Yep.
But that's fine. That's fine. God. I'm fine.
So you're telling me that Rockland County, or wait, Rockland, New York, was founded in the 1800s?
Well, no, Riverdale.
They
Riverdale
circled the wagons.
Riverdale was founded in 1950.
County, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it was, yeah, it was founded circling. In 1950 when Nana Rose showed up in a fucking covered wagon.
Yeah. They circled the wagons.
They circled it to keep it safe from hippies.
Do they not? Do they not understand that that just unfolds? That just like tears apart their house of cards. That they gave it a real actual location.
You can't say
that's
where
so
it
fucked.
Is. This whole
you cannot
thing
by this point.
Works.
What you have to do is say that right at the beginning of the show. You say, "Welcome to Riverdale. It's in Vermont."
You put it on the sign. We have to look at
you
the
fucking
stupid
put it on the sign
all the time.
Oh my fucking god! Oh god! Just the whole. I'm lost in the ribbons of this show now because they're all fucking over the floor.
You're in a Nana Rose ribbons fugue state.
God damn it! I'm in a fucking ribbon fugue state.
It was somehow more reasonable to me that Hiram could have the governor of, like, New Hampshire in his pocket than the governor of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a more powerful person. Yeah, because
New Hampshire
doesn't
give a shit.
And also that.
Who knows the name of the governor of New Hampshire? I don't.
Me neither.
Like, people know the name of the governor of New York.
Yeah, I mostly pay attention to the mayor of New York City because they are just on a tear. Every single New York City mayor in my cognizant lifetime has been some form of insane, and it's reached peak insane New York mayor with Eric Adams.
Yeah, Eric Adams is fucking wackadoo.
He's really not okay.
Oh, fuck.
He might be a suit piloted by rats. He could be being ratatouille.
Oh, shit.
Time.
What was the tweet about him? It's like,
oh, my God.
Eric Adams is like, the moon is made of squirrels and I will eat one.
Like, the thing is,
holy shit.
He might have said that.
Like, yeah. Like, no quote is impossible. Like, it could have been him that said any weird thing.
Honestly, good for him for setting attainable goals. He knows what he's about. He's going to go up there and eat a moon squirrel. Get all fucked up by the moon friction. Okay?
Yeah, he just, listen. We're not sure that Eric Adams has a house, first of all. He sometimes has rats in his pockets.
Wait, actually?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Maybe he thinks those are the moon squirrels.
Maybe he thinks those are the moon squirrels. Can we start calling rats moon squirrels?
We can do whatever
we
want.
God, I had a huge... Oh, man. My building's got such a big moon squirrel problem. They started putting traps out. Do moon squirrels like peanut butter? Is that how you set a trap for a moon squirrel?
Probably.
Or is it cheese? Cheese seems stereotypical.
Mm. You got to get moon acorns, obviously. Duh.
Ah, fuck, you're so right.
We should talk about this episode, huh?
I guess. I guess.
Stop talking. We don't need an Eric Adams tangent. I don't even live in that town.
It's a perfectly okay episode of television.
Says you.
Contains really upsetting information, first of all.
That is true,
yes.
Second of all,
the fact that... Go ahead.
Given the breakneck pace of the last episode, I assumed they were on a tear to get stuff done, and then we get this?
Yeah.
This meeting could have been an email, could have been a fist fight.
Could have been a fist fight. Just meet me in the alley. Winner gets to decide.
Yeah.
What we do, whatever your question is, the winner gets to say.
Perfect.
Right. Anyway, this man pays Hiram's daddy a hunk of metal and says that there's this town called Riverdale that's just chock-a-block with it.
The fuck is a shoeshiner going to do with a chunk of palladium?
Yeah, get arrested.
Sell it.
Because somebody's going to say, how'd you get
this? Twice the weight of gold.
Hey, how'd you get this?
Hey. Hurry. How did you get this palladium?
Anyway, Papa and young Hiram are very excited. We finally made it to the title card, Riverdale.
Oh, my God, finally.
Riverdale,
holy shit,
New York,
I made it to
everybody. We
Jesus.
Love that fact.
Riverdale, New York. Mm-hmm. New York, New York, Riverdale. Fuck me. My brain noodle is going out of my ear. The one noodle that makes me brain, it's going out of my ear.
I do need to remind you that Hiram, remember when Veronica changed her name and Hiram was really mad, and then we found out that Hiram had actually changed his name, so he had no fucking... He called the leg store and they were all out. Nothing to stand on.
Yeah, nothing to stand on.
Okay, so Hiram's father's name is Javier Luna. All right? So,
okay.
Yeah, Javier Luna, he moves his family to Riverdale to get a job at the mine, which there was.
Okay. There was.
Okay. But God, you don't hear about the mine anymore because it collapsed and shut down, so...
Ah, fuck. Right as they got there. I'm so pissed.
Can you believe it? Yeah.
God,
poor Javier.
This guy just can't catch a break. Can he?
So,
fuck.
Mama Lodge...
Even Jackson was upset about that.
She works at Pops, and so, of course, everybody in the show is in Pops playing their young parents. And Javier's outside shining shoes because, you know, that's what he knows.
That's what he does.
Yep.
Totally. Yep.
And
yeah, he sets up in Rockland County, New York, where it is winter like 5 months out of the year in the
80s. All the time.
Yeah.
Has an outdoor shoe shining shop where he somehow pays the rent.
He's Hispanic. He can't go inside.
He just sets it up in the parking lot of Pop's.
Jesus Christ.
And Pop is like, hey, you know what? It's cool. Just do it's whatever fine. You want in my parking lot.
It's whatever.
Do whatever.
Whatever. We gotta band together. So, yes, a mean businessman refuses to pay for his shoe shine. And Hiram, who at the time is Jaime Luna, is like, I'll fight him. And his dad says no. And it's discussed that
no.
The mind collapse really changed the man. Because I guess he would have fought the businessman previously. I don't know.
All right.
Still, things were good. Things were good in the small and friendly town of Riverdale, New York, where business grew in shining shoes.
Well, wow.
Our boy Jaime Luna at shining shoes, and some mobster gives him $100 and offers him a job.
Hell yeah.
But it's not all good times at shoe shines.
That's not all.
What it's also
shoe shine market in
school.
Oh, it's booming, Jim.
Riverdale.
Oh my God.
Like,
whomst are these professionals and where are they going to work?
And why aren't they getting their shoes signed at Grand Central Terminal like they probably should be? Why are they getting it done here? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, it's reasonable. They could be commuting into the city from Riverdale.
No, sure.
It's a small town in Rockland County. Yeah. Who knows?
Good.
But I do also
Rockland
find
County.
It confusing because no one in this town now wears a suit or goes to a job.
Yep.
Or has fancy shoes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's also sometimes school. So.
Sweet.
Fancy Hooch shoes was then Jaime Luna goes
aren't
to school.
Really, I don't know. None of this makes sense.
Okay.
Yep.
And asks one Miss Hermione Gomez out, but she's like, my mom says I can't date no low-down shoeshine boy.
Well, but what about a mobster? Huh?
Well, that's what he says, so he goes immediately to the gangster.
Hell yeah, dude.
He's like, hey, Mr. Gangster, I want money and respect. And the gangster says, it's not respect, it's fear. And he's like, hey, Mr. Gangster, I want money and fear.
And would you be my
he's
new
like,
daddy?
Now you got the ticket.
Yeah.
This
mobster location's down by the track, so periodically there are trains that go by and the whole set shakes. Woo.
Whoa.
Yeah, regular stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jaime's got to go make a delivery, so he takes a thing, he goes to a guy who's like, you're brown, huh? You gotta work twice as fast for half the pay. But Jesus. Jaime doesn't say anything. He just takes the cash and he goes back to the mobster, whose name is Vito, because he's so Italiano.
Vito. Yeah. I'm gonna veto his existence, maybe.
Yep.
He seems a bad guy.
Vito says, listen, don't take that guy personally. Everybody knows he's a clown. Good job not hitting him. And then Jaime gets paid, and that money buys him new clothes and the confidence he needs to get the girl.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Hermione agrees to go on a date to Pops. They discuss that, sure, he works for a gangster, but...
Oh, for Matthew, all of the parents are played by the current kids...
Yes.
Except Jaime is just some random dude.
Sweet. They brought in a separate Hiram.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Javier. Jaime is some random dude. Yeah. But
yeah,
they did a good job with casting.
Yeah. Sweet. Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
We shall
he's
never
great,
see him
and he,
again.
And he looks... You don't look at him and you're not like, nah. You look at him and you think, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think so. Yeah.
So, on their date at Pops, yes... Yes, Jaime is a gangster, but they both have parents that work hard to provide, and they both want to get out of this town and go to New York and live in a penthouse.
Heyo. But they're going to live in a penthouse in Riverdale.
Well, I mean, they moved there from New York, you know? It's all going to come true.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah,
but not right. today, because today he gets arrested for trafficking narcotics.
Oh, but
that old chestnut.
But Jaime Luna has an amazing bit of wisdom for us before he gets arrested. After Hermione agrees to go on the date because now he has dollars, he says, whoever said money can't buy happiness was a sucker.
Wow. What a guy being blinded by the lights of New York City. Jesus Christ. I can see the sparkle in his eye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But they can't finish their date. He gets arrested for trafficking narcotics. The cops shake him down and try to get him to turn on the gangster, but he won't.
No.
Hermione's got his back, though. She goes to the gangster and says, hey, Jaime got arrested.
Oh, my God.
So then he gets bailed out.
You gotta fix this shit.
Yeah. He gets bailed out right quick. And he has to say to the gangsters,
I'm sorry.
I didn't squeal. I'm no stool pigeon.
Wow. I'm no stool pigeon.
I mean, he didn't say that.
He didn't say that. I said that. But still.
We felt that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he gets a promotion. And the gangster says, and you should marry that pretty little lady who came in here.
Yeah, for sure.
And Jaime is like, oh, I mean, I got arrested during our first date, so I'm pretty sure she is done with me.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
A fair assessment. Yeah.
That's a solid no. But the gangster gives Jaime a car as a bonus to go with his promotion.
Wow, things are happening so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gangster remembers that earlier in the episode, Reggie said that you can get laid in a car.
Oh, right.
And so he passes that future knowledge down to Hiram.
Sweet.
Yeah. So he convinces Hermione to go on another date. They sit in his car and he's like, I gotta change my name. And his first draft is...
Oh, man.
Not please. Great.
Let it be so good. Let it be so good. No, wait. Come on. Let it be so good.
His
come on.
First draft is, I'm going to change my name to Hiram Lott because I'm going to have a lot in life.
Wow. Not like Hiram Dragon Killer or Hiram, really cool dude with a bunch of money or. I'm going to have a daughter
Hiram
named
Big
Veronica.
Dick.
Veronica Big Dick is going to be my daughter's name. Oh, boy.
Every time.
Wow.
It makes me think of.
Sorry.
Reboot. No.
God,
your dick is so big.
Stop saying that. After the last time we talked about Reboot so much, I started watching it again. No regrets. God, it's a good show.
I need to find this fucking thing.
Is it on Hulu, I think?
Yeah, it's on
Hulu. I gotta get a Hulu. Yeah, sweet.
And there, it's not a super friendly user face, but worth watching.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, Hermione very gently steers him away from from that.
Lot?
Yeah, they land on Hiram Lodge.
But
so
for
he,
why?
I guess fills out the paperwork about it. He goes to school. They're doing roll call. They're like, Fred Andrews, and there's KJ Apa with Fred Andrews' hair. It's...
Oh, that sucks.
Better than a bald cap.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I'm going to say the jury's still out on whether or not KJ Apa would look better in a bald cap.
It's bizarre. The amount of work they did for that, like, 3-second shot also.
God.
Bonkers.
So much.
But they get to Jaime Luna and he's like, it's Hiram Lodge now. And the teacher says, whatever. Okay. Did you do the paperwork? And he says, yes. At which point, Marty Mantle chimes in with like, either way, you still shine shoes, loser. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha. Sucker.
Yeah. So obviously Hiram has to go kick that kid's ass after school.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yes, please.
In Betty's auto shop set, no less.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Awesome.
Yep. So after kicking...
Like, damn it, we built this set and put this dumb car in it. We're going to fucking use it.
We're going to use it.
We're going to get our fucking money's worth.
Hiram goes home, where his parents are waiting, because obviously the school called about the violence.
Again?
Yeah. They have a fight where his dad's like, you think I don't know that you work for a gangster and do crimes? And you well, brought great shame on our family and so forth.
Yeah.
prompting Hiram to say, it's a good thing that I changed my name because you are embarrassing. How dare you live a life of dignity, you rube.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, such a square.
Yeah.
Not,
he's so lame.
Not breaking laws. Such a fucking hayseed rube, this guy.
This guy, he doesn't know what's cool. He just does his job and loves his family.
Yeah, has one or two hobbies, maybe three if he's feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
What a fucking rube. His life's not even in danger.
Like, yeah, how can you even show your face in the grocery store?
Exactly.
But Javier Luna then goes to Vito, much like Marty Mantle went to Hiram, you know? Ooh, it's full circle.
Oh, parallels.
Oh, boy.
Parallels.
And the mobster says, look, don't you want him to have money and make his own decisions?
Yeah, man.
And Javier says, I think maybe you fundamentally misunderstand this conversation. I'm not asking you to leave my son alone.
I'm telling you.
I am telling you. And Vito, in the grand tradition of bullies everywhere, says, you and what army?
Oh, boy. Is it an army of other dads?
No, Javier's ready for this one. Damn, he's it. Like, the cops, actually.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Got him.
Yeah. Vito says, let me think about it, and I'll call you, which Javier falls for because he is a man with honor and dignity. Tisk tisk.
And also dumb.
Yeah.
Damn it.
We have a little voiceover where Hiram basically says, my good daddy was good, actually, and he thought people were good, but they aren't.
No.
Then we get a scene where Hiram's good daddy gets gunned down in front of his shoeshine shop.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's pretty violent.
God damn.
And then a young Hiram has to identify the body. We don't actually see Dr. Kirtle Sr., but he's there.
He went to 10 years at junior school.
Yeah, well, back in the day.
To graduate to senior, yeah.
Back in the day, senior school only cost a nickel a month.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
The woman who plays Hermione now gets to play Hermione's mother.
Okay.
Paying her respects to Hiram, who gets a dig in about, well, he was just a lowly shoe shiner. Ha ha.
Oh,
you
God.
Didn't like me, he says.
All right.
In the background, Penelope is saying to Hermione, your boyfriend is a gangster.
Well, no shit.
Yeah, I? And Hermione says, I don't think I've ever liked you, actually.
Hmm.
Crazy thought, Penelope. Nobody here is your friend.
Yeah. How about that?
At this point, Vito comes in to pay his respects and tells Hiram, like, listen, take as much bereavement time as you need. You know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your mom. You come back to work when you're ready.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right.
I do feel like Hermione leaving the show was a really good choice because she looks great. She's happy.
Yeah, she's
her
really
skin is clear.
Yeah. Like, eyes clear, full heart, can't lose.
She's on fleek.
Like, exactly, Jim. You hit the nail on the head. She's on fleek.
Yeah, she's.
And now,
she's,
Jim, I'm gonna ask you what that means.
She's just living her best life. Listen,
I'm gonna have to insist that you tell me what on fleek means, please. Please, I have two hands outstretched.
You know it when you see it.
I'm saying, please, sir, give me the definition of fleek.
You know it when you see it.
No, but I need to know it now. No, I need to know it now, though, Jim. I'm so sorry.
Listen, I don't know anything about my outdated internet references.
I can't believe you said a Gen X trap like that, Matthew, and let us just walk into it.
Woo! Love that. That was a podcast highlight if I've ever heard one. Holy shit. All right. So Hermione's on fleek, which I don't know what that means, but she's gone.
Yeah. Anyway, Hiram's mom asks him to be done with gangstering, and he says he promises.
Okay, but he doesn't?
Yeah, do that. Which...
no way.
Yeah.
He definitely had his fingers crossed behind his back.
Yeah. Oh, like it doesn't yeah. count. Uh-huh. What she didn't know is I had my fingers yeah. crossed.
Ha gotcha. Yeah.
So he goes back to Vito's Italian place down by the train tracks. Vito isn't there, but does Hiram want to sit down? They'll deal him in on this hand of poker. Except what Hiram wants to do is gun violence.
Oh my god, the whole thing? The whole gang?
Yeah, the whole gang. He kills them all.
It's three guys.
Holy shit.
But it's the whole gang, yes.
But it is the whole gang.
But, I mean,
yeah,
three guys. Vito's gang. Guys.
Vito's gang sucks, first
well,
of all.
Well, obviously, they got gunned down by a boy, a guy.
They're a bullshit, like, Rockland County mob outfit with four members, all of them stupid.
Yes. But the thing is, there's still Vito to kill, though. Ah, shit.
Yeah, Vito's yeah. not there.
Yep, Vito's not there. Hiram does wait for the train to go by to cover the gunshots from the known gangster shack, I guess.
Yeah.
Showing you that he's got shack. A keen criminal mind.
Oh, shit.
Extremely keen.
Yeah.
Katie Keene, even?
Indeed.
No, not in this episode.
Okay. Damn it.
It's discussed that nobody ever knew why Vito wasn't there. But Vito did leave town. Hiram goes home with shakes from Pops for his mom. That was his excuse for his errand.
Sweet. Covered in blood, too.
Yes, blood he blood. Is definitely covered in blood.
Yeah.
Covered in blood. Blood
and
in the milkshakes.
The
in
shakes are not
covered absurd, in blood. He's like, oh, I'm going to put these shakes in the fridge. Okay.
That sucks. Hold on. Let's
have
a second here.
I'm not happy about that.
If you have to save them, they have to go in the freezer, but you can't.
They
yeah.
gotta go.
You can't save a milkshake. It's like taking home leftover eggs. Don't do it. It's never going to be it. Right again.
If you ever take home a milkshake, put it in the freezer, then thaw it out in the fridge. Okay?
Don't take leftover eggs.
Don't take leftover eggs. That's
they're
so
never
going to
be right
dude.
Again. They've been
Liam,
eggs.
Do you have leftover eggs in your fucking fridge right
the
now?
Fuck I do. Where am I going to get leftover eggs? No,
I don't know.
Have
from the fucking
eggs.
Diner.
Who knows? We don't know what your life is like. Weird.
Yeah, man.
It's not great.
Well, Jim, on the off chance that somebody offers you leftover scrambled eggs, no.
I will
do
say
not
no.
Take,
yeah.
Do not
I mean, I feel like intuitively I would say no to that.
Yeah, you would. No, sometimes,
be like,
sometimes
hey,
you have
you
a big old
weird
diner breakfast.
Leftover eggs? I'd be like, you know what? No.
And your diner waitress, whose name's like Doris or something, and she's like, oh, sweetie, do you want to take your leftovers home? No, you don't.
And you can't, but you can't possibly send her to Doris because she works
I don't.
Double
pancake,
overtime.
Leftover pancakes are also going to be terrible.
No, leftover pancakes are great.
No, that's a good maple syrup flavored mush.
Or even put them back in the toaster. Sorry, not bad.
Oh, yeah, if you haven't syrupped them all up.
Put them in the toaster. Yeah.
There are things you can take
or
home
if you
for
have.
Breakfast, but
make a
not
sticky
eggs.
Mess in your toaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't put eggs in your toaster.
I mean, not with that attitude. You can try.
Not with any attitude.
No, with the right attitude, anything is possible.
All right, back to Hiram.
All right, fine.
Fine. Vito left town, so Hiram goes around to collect, and he's like, and I'm the boss now, and everybody says, sir, yes, sir, we love it. You're the
chef.
Handsomest. We never liked Vito anyway.
Yeah, he sucks anyway. And you killed the rest of them, so.
And now.
I guess you're just a one-man gang? Like,
yeah. Yeah,
he's
now,
he's a one-man gang that somehow has Vito's narcotics hookup. Like, he just gets his narcotics.
Sure.
He's never met the guy who is the supplier. He doesn't know anything about that aspect of the
you
operation.
Don't know that.
He's only ever taken deliveries out to dudes.
He got a promotion in a car.
And yeah, he doesn't do any of that on camera.
Yeah, it could have happened.
He gets the promotion and the car, and his dad is immediately killed about it. He never goes to work as the collection agent.
Like, I mean, you don't know how immediate it was.
The next day, his dad is killed about it.
My favorite part about this is how we hate opposite things about this episode.
I have noticed
it's,
that.
But it is insane. Anyway, Hiram is now a big man, and he is the one who gets his shoes shined.
Ha-ha!
Yeah.
Got him, as they say.
Gotta have some fancy shoes.
And he married Hermione, and Veronica was born. And then Hermione says, remember when you said we'd go to New York? It is time. So they moved
to
New York. And hey, in this story, when was Hermosa born?
Oh, like sometime after.
Yeah, with, or before, not important. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, isn't Hermosa older than Hermione?
Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
Reg asks the important
and
question.
And Hermosa also has a different mom, doesn't?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Hiram has business interests in Miami, and Hermosa's mom was like a hostess at one of his clubs.
Aha.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, but I don't, man.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well,
the timeline
of
this show is very wibbly wobbly and or timey wimey.
Yep.
We hear the even more insane thing about this is that Reg is like, why did you come back here? And Hiram says Palladium. But wasn't it Hermione had to flee and Hiram was in jail? Wasn't jail the reason he came back?
Yeah, jail was the reason he came back. Gang? Hey, gang? Did you guys, like, have a connection?
Let's not say it's Palladium. That's not how you got him into this show in the first place.
That was all part of the Palladium obsession.
Somehow,
this was him doing a bad job getting arrested
twice in one episode.
Yeah, do the people who write the show watch this show? Because
No, they do not.
They do
not. In the same way that I don't listen to our own podcast, no one has ever.
Shame on you, Jim.
No one who's written an episode of the show has ever seen any other episode of the show.
But this in particular, I found so upsetting. Why did you come back here, Palladium? There's other ways to get him to say, like, I need to finish what my dad started in this town.
Yeah.
His dad didn't start a Palladium mine. He worked in one and then quit. Like, the next day, because it collapsed.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's more of a fired situation. That's not quitting. Let's not call Javier a quitter.
You're right. He was downsized.
He was downsized.
By the mine falling.
Yeah, because he's a few inches shorter now because of some fractured vertebrae. But yeah, saying that it was a choice for Hiram to be there.
Yeah, that sucks. And not true at all.
Insane.
Like, it's just patently untrue, yeah. And also bad.
We've watched this show. Why are you saying this?
Like, I can't believe that this has come to a head like this. Where?
Yeah. Anyway, they follow that fucking wild swing up with a small celebration of how well Hiram's slave labor mine went.
Yeah, good job on the fucking slave labor, bud.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But how he can't be satisfied until he gets the Maple Grove.
I need that Maple Grove.
And that he will finish what his father began. And at this point in my notes,
there
I
go.
Wrote down, my guy, just go buy a jet ski and chill. Like, you have enough money.
If this is your midlife crisis, I'm so scared for you.
I mean, the episode also says that in a minute.
Yeah.
God,
Reg's takeaway from this whole story is that, like, Hiram's so cool.
Shut the fuck up. That sucks.
Like, Reg, come on. Anyway, they need the ghost gun to go kill Vito.
What? Oh, so Vito's still alive.
Yeah, they drive to a nursing home where Vito's a sad old man in a bed, and Hiram shoots him in the head, so that's cool. Ooh, what a cool guy.
Wow, what a cool guy. Shooting old guys in the head.
Yep, shooting old guys who are going to die in a month anyway. Just fucking leave him alone.
God damn.
Hiram then fires Reg to save him.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a heart of gold inside that.
I guess.
Dark soul. I don't know.
Reg says,
I'm riffing here.
But I hate my dad.
But I can't go back to my dad. I hate that guy.
I hate that guy. And I already killed him once. And Hiram's like, I didn't get the chance to go learn to love my dad. But maybe you can. These fathers are very different men. Hiram, I just need you to know that.
Yeah.
Your dad was good, and Marty Mantle is Marty Mantle, so...
Is dead. Marty Mantle's dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Reg goes to the
dealership. I assume he will be soon.
I hope so, because then the bit can continue.
Oh, we're never going to see this guy again. I can't believe they fucking... He crawled out of the warehouse for
this. Dug him out of the warehouse. Yeah.
Insane.
Wow.
Anyway, Reg goes to the dealership where his bad daddy is there being ashamed of being a bad daddy, and they... I don't know, start to mend their relationship, I guess.
Ah, fuck off. God damn it, dude.
Yeah, so what's happening here is this whole episode is setting Reggie up to be like, oh, my dad is okay, and then his dad is going to get killed by somebody else, and Reggie is going to become evil, right?
Probably.
Maybe by Hiram.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That would be a good television program.
Yeah, no. I was just about to stop you.
That can't happen. You're right.
That won't be it.
Yeah.
We're almost done.
You are probably right that Hiram will be the one who kills him.
All right.
He's the one. I mean, maybe the Mothmans will get him. Maybe the Mole Mens will get him. Maybe he'll get sexy Mothman cancer.
Oh, yes.
You know, maybe Betty will flip a switch in her brain and she'll kill him. Who knows?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe Dark Betty will come back just to
maybe
kill him.
Maybe Glenn will be so mad about being stabbed, he'll just kill him.
Oh, God, there's so many different ways that
maybe
Marty
Charles
Michael
will get
die.
Back out of prison. Maybe Penelope will sacrifice him to her Dark Maple God.
God, there's just so many.
There's like a lot of ways.
Why'd you have to end
this
show so early? We could have done so much.
Yeah, there's like a lot of options here, and I'm happy to keep spitballing. But we should finish talking about this episode.
All right, fine.
We're supposed to feel bad for Hiram. He is sitting alone on his bed, eating ice cream, eating right out of the pint container. Oh, like a fat slob. Can you believe this?
He's getting soft. No.
Are we supposed to feel bad for him? I thought he's like living it up.
Well, no, because he is happy because he is watching Hermione and Veronica on an episode of Real Housewives.
What the fuck? What? Actually, really?
Yeah, yes. Hermione is... like,
she went
quit
to
the show to go
housewife.
Be on Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
Wait, in the real life?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No,
okay.
in the show.
Oh, I remember that.
That's
now.
What she was
Sorry.
Doing before
Sorry.
She moved to Riverdale.
Yeah.
Right.
And now she's back.
On the show, someone called Riverdale Hermione's ex-husband's crime-infested hellhole, which I think is great.
Good Lord.
Then Hiram watches... as his wife and daughter discuss what a fuck up he is.
Holy shit.
That his problem is he's never satisfied by what he has, and he should have retired when he had a chance. And Veronica even says, was he ever really even sick?
Did he even have nodes?
Oh, dude, he didn't even have nodes, did he? Fuck, he was pulling the wool over everybody's eyes.
Made me so happy when she bagged on that whole plot line.
Yeah, she's like, hold on.
I do fucking love that.
Were those nodes real? Ridiculous.
That can't be right. Yeah, that can't be right.
Yeah.
It made me so happy.
Yeah, bonkers. So he mutes the TV and he starts to look sad and mad. But then his phone rings, and it's Hermosa. She's the one who tracked down Vito and then went in and cleaned up the crime scene.
I mean, cool.
I guess. Remember that time she shot two people in the back of the head and then said it was self-defense?
Yeah, that was sick, honestly.
She
honestly loved
Hermosa
that
and
her.
Red should get together.
Everybody
just pitch this.
On this show is riddled with serial killer genes.
I need... Regmosa or Erig to be a thing.
Original. Anyway, this episode ends with Hiram saying he sacrificed so much to get to this point, but once he has the Palladium, he'll get back everything else he's lost.
Oh my God, dude. Just leave it alone. Just like do some
get
fucking failing.
Get a therapist
counseling.
And a jet ski and leave us alone.
Just get a therapist and a jet ski.
Truly.
For the love of Christ.
And that's
it. Even just the jet ski would be fun.
And that's it. Wow.
That's
look
it.
At that.
Yeah.
Holy shit, gang.
When
what a
I
terrible,
tell, when
weird
I said
episode.
This episode could have been a 5-minute monologue, I was not kidding.
Yeah. It definitely could have been an email.
Ready? I'm gonna do it in less than that. You ready?
Yep.
My dad was a shoe shiner, and then I got into drugs and gangs, and then he was like, no, don't. And I was like, oh, but I want to. And then he goes to the mob boss, and he's like, I got the cops. And then...
you're doing great.
And then he says, okay, let me think about it. And then he killed my dad, and then I killed everybody else except for Vito because he wasn't there. And then I lived my full life, and now I'm here, back with you, Reg. And now we're going to go kill Vito, an old man. And then he sits down and watches his whole life crumble. And that's it. Dunzo. Dunzo. That was less than a minute, I think.
What an episode of television.
Holy shit.
That was indeed an episode of television.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for listening this week, everybody. This will be the episode that comes out the week after we're on the cruise. So then the next one is going to be the live one, I guess. So, we are at Riverdale Runs on Twitter and Blue Sky, and we are Riverdale_Runs on Instagram. And then we have an email that's artipod@gmail.com. It's artipod@gmail.com. It's our initials. and then our intro and outro song is... Excuse me?
Sorry.
No, please. Go on.
No, I'm good.
All right, cool. anyway, Smooth Passenger by White Bones is our intro and outro song. Go check it out if you want to listen to Smooth
Bone Passenger.
Smooth Bone Passenger. And I guess that's it. So have a great week. Find joy where you can. You know what? Maybe try and shine some shoes. See how hard it really is.
I don't even have shinable shoes.
Well, get you a pair.
Well, that's the first step, then.
Yeah. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, Jim, and one step in shinable shoes.
Yeah, okay? That makes sense.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
I know, because I just said it. And then be kind and don't fuck by a bunch of corpses. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.